Hello everyone and welcome to this week's Lemon to Now podcast with me, Gary Jones. I hope you've all had a fantastic week and I have got a really cool interview with a true podcast lover today. So I'm joined with Kieran Langford from CrossFit Faber, which is a local CrossFit gym in Stoneleigh, which is just outside of Leamington. It's literally a stone's throw. And he's a really cool guy who loves podcasts. Now, in this podcast, we're going to be talking about his background, how he got into CrossFit, some of the common misconceptions of it, but also how we can help you become from not fit to fit, from fit to very fit. And it's all about the journey. This is going to be part two, part interview. So let's get cracking with part one. Let's take it away. I'm joined today with Kieran, who's going to be talking about fitness, inspiring people, and so much more. We've just had about a 10-15 minute chat with this guy, and I am so excited. So cheers for joining us today.
Thank you, Gary. Yeah, it's what I'm into. I love podcasts, so as soon as I've seen it, I was keen to get on.
No, that's cool. So tell the listeners a little bit about you and about what you're doing at the moment.
So at the moment, I run a CrossFit training facility at Stoneleigh Park, North Leamington. It's called CrossFit Faber. A Faber is someone who works hard with raw materials. So
it's quite apt.
Yeah, so we took that little twist on it. It's Latin for that. We also have a working forge on site. Stoneleigh Park is quite a special place in itself.
Yeah.
A lot of different local businesses there. So, yeah, it's a really special place to be based as well.
Nice. So for people who don't know where Stoneleigh Park is, How would you describe it?
It's North Leamington. It's just up from North Leamington School. As if you're heading, towards Coventry, you'd normally see it on the left hand side there, big security gates. It was the old Royal Showground, so people might have been to it through that. Years ago, and Town and Country, and all them great childhood memories for me. I don't like to call it an industrial estate because it's got so many, it's got a really cool farm shop who we deal with. So they do locally based, locally sourced products. Obviously with the fitness, it goes hand in hand,
which we
spare a lot of our time. It's got a lot of big employers there. So National Farmers Union and some energy efficiency places.
So definitely worth checking out.
It's definitely worth checking out.
But it's actually a lot closer to Leamington.
North Leamington. It comes under the label of Kenilworth. I'm not sure how they get that.
I don't get that. Anyway, that's fine. So in terms of CrossFit, for people who don't know about it, how would you sum it up?
CrossFit, so the catch line is constantly varied functional movement at high intensity, which kind of doesn't really sum it up.
No, not at all.
It's a nice tagline, but the constantly varied, we believe in routine is the enemy, compared to normal workouts, especially in the commonly with gentlemen, like to do more hypertrophy work, bodybuilding style work. It's back and bars on this day, chest day this day, legs, which I'm finally glad that's come around, because there never used to be a leg day. So it's very routine based, and you can still have a routine without actually blocking out muscle groups and isolating muscle groups. We can still work a lot of different muscle groups, but while having that routine. So the routine is important, but it needs to be varied as much as possible.
Okay, so what happens if you don't vary it?
Your body kind of adapts and gets used to it. We're part of this amazing sort of adapting machine. You just have to look back through history of evolution as such. We constantly adapt to this environment, good and bad. So what you find is you limit your success, which sees you go back further than when you first started. Or tend to see that happen. So people get stuck in this yo-yo system of, I almost got fit, I'm really, really far back now, I can't possibly get to where I was. And you'd be happy with where you were, but then you're always striving to where you could be, and it's this yo-yo system of back and forth, which is a fundamental flaw in fitness and the weight loss industry. That's actually why a lot of weight loss plans, commonly held in church halls, won't name check them too much, but they're designed to fail. They're a business, you know, they're a business strategy. That's what their premise is. They want you to fail. They want you to come back. I prefer to set you up for independence, and you want to come back. You want to interact with us. You want part of that. Then means that I've got to be a better coach, and I've got to go out and seek further learning too. Yeah. So I'm not a closed book. No.
But that goes back to the ethos of CrossFit.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I digressed a little there, but yeah, that's it's fine. The ethos of CrossFit. Yeah. So the functional movement, it has to be functional, because if we are relying on bicep curls and stuff to progress our fitness, it has a limit to it, and we want our fitness to be limitless. We want it to, you know, someone to say, let's go on this adventure, and we go, okay, let's go. Yeah. You know, not okay, I can go in 8 months time when I finally get round to being able to get out of the chair with an aches and pains, and you know, this detracts to later in life. Mm. You know, one of the most unfunctional things we do, we're unfortunately doing it at the minute, is sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
You know, relying on our skeletal system to hold us up. It's actually our muscular system that is designed to hold us up, and not our skeletal system. So it's going against how we were designed.
Yeah.
So that's why it has to be functional. And then the high intensity is the bit CrossFit got famous for, and I wish the first two would have been the bit it got famous for. But it's the bit people get addicted to. It's that high intensity workout, that feeling of I can't push anymore, I push through it.
Yeah.
And the endorphins kick in, and you know you're left there lying in a sweaty mess on the floor, and you're like, what just happened? That was amazing.
Yeah. So what would be a typical kind of workout for the typical CrossFit athlete?
Yeah.
And hey, they are athletes.
Yeah.
Bloody tough. What kind of things do they work out, and activities do they do?
Yeah. And a CrossFit athlete kind of detracts away from why CrossFit was originally set up.
Oh, okay.
So CrossFit was set up as an aware life, but the sport has probably took more precedence now. Mm-hmm. We'll touch on both, but the sporting precedence, you know, it's a grind, it's hard. Most sporting pursuits will take you further away from fitness and healthiness than, you know, the opposite ends of the spectrum. What they're trying to pursue there is the pursuit of being the best, or pursuit of perfection almost. So everything is designed. So a CrossFit athlete would probably traditionally work out possibly, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a day. That is their life. We've seen a lot of CrossFit athletes set up businesses to try and help support that, so they get a revenue stream. We've actually seen a detract from that now, which is great, because it means the sponsorship's coming into the sport.
Okay.
Hopefully the money will start coming in. You know, CrossFit HQ's strict sort of guidelines and the way they control the media and the use of the word CrossFit, we might have to be careful, because we can't actually use that word.
No, that's fine. I'll stop using it.
But it's without that, we can't you know, explain what we're doing. So hopefully this is a plus. But it's that controlling, it has been a blessing and a curse, because it stops sponsors getting on board, because they can't actually use that word in a business setting or for money. But as well, that has, you know, harnessed the sport and kept it grounded and kept the roots and the core, you know, of what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Now a CrossFit athlete now, a sponsored athlete, would be training 3 to 4 times a day, and their life would be CrossFit. They recover as hard as they work out. They try and cheat that as such, or try and maximise that. So their food would be worked out. So we have we go for our by a kind of a guideline on food. We're at one end of the spectrum, where probably quantity is the most quantity and quality are probably the most important things to us.
If you're working out 2 to 4 times a day, you're going to need the fuel to be able to keep doing that.
That's it, but they're going to get down to the highly the opposite end of the spectrum, so the sort of the small percentages. There's, you know, 3 to 5%, so all of maximising supplements. You know, anything they can use to promote recovery there, and, you know, obviously talking in a legal capacity, stringent drugs policy with CrossFit, as there are in most sports, but obviously there are grey areas with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're just trying to
any marginal gains possible,
and it's a very very tunnel vision as an athlete. But it is, on the spectrum of that, is also promoted this amazing fitness-driven community, global community.
I know we were talking about beforehand about them being able to lift extraordinary weight, but also then compete at the same time or straight after in long-distance triathlons, and having such a varied ability and body that is able to cope for both extremes.
That's it, yeah, and that's the athlete too. Do you know, the inbox athlete too, or general person that uses it, it can't just be all one-dimensional for the sport and for function. Do you know, yes, we have some amazing powerlifters and weightlifters in this country, and you know, a great history of that. Them guys are not going to run a 5K, they're not going to run a 10K. They're so one-dimensional. And you can't be one-dimensional in fitness. And like I say, if we want to go out on that adventure, we don't know what we're going to occur. What we're going to occur, we need to be able to fast-track as much of that as possible. So we need to be ready for the unknown and the unknowable. So we need to be able to adapt to any environment, which is principally what we're designed to do as humans. You know, mental, isn't it?
Humans adapt.
Yeah.
You need to be able to do it when it'll be needed.
And that's it, yeah. So that's where we tend to focus on as a business at CrossFit Faber. You know, general physical preparedness is what we talk about, GPP. And what that detracts to is basically that work capacity. So getting that energy, whether that be energy to carry out your work life, play with your children, wherever you want to translate that, just giving you that energy so it's there when it's needed, and also giving you the strength, but in a movement. So getting back to the way we move. If you look at small children, they don't sit.
No.
They're in a nice squat position. There is a bit of a biomechanical thing for that with children, because their torso is longer than their legs, so if they did bend at the waist, they would fall over, but that's them cleverly adapting as well.
But there's a really cool TED talk done by Roger Fanta, who talks exactly like that.
So check
that out. I can't remember the title of it, but Roger Fanta, YouTube, TED talk, you'll be able to find it.
100% looking at that. And it's getting back to the way we used to move. You know, like I say, as infants, and trying to, you know, we do a lot, especially our warm-ups, all dynamic style warm-ups, but we look at a lot of animal movement.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of animal movement mimics children's movements. So we do a lot of crawling, and it's amazing. It's like teaching people to crawl. Do you know, that should be a basic human thing. We did it for so many years. It should be a motor pattern. Those neurons should be there, and it's amazing. And the more you focus on it, the more obviously you can't do it. But it's just trying to get people back to basics, really. And delivered in a fun, welcoming way.
I can tell that you're really passionate about it.
It is, unfortunately, yeah.
Have you been doing this for a while? So talk about you for a little bit.
Yeah, so me personally, journey-wise, I've always been into sport. We touched a bit on that at the start. School wasn't really set up for me as a person. I wasn't naughty or anything like that at school. I just found it hard. I found it tough. I know a lot of people do. I am dyslexic. It took me a long while to grasp what that was. At first, I thought I was stupid or couldn't think as fast as other people. But then, when I'm good at something or when I'm passionate about something, it's amazing. I can do it or do that thing all day, every day, constantly. And that is a blessing and a curse. So it's just now I found it. It's just basically, I work to my strengths. There's no good me trying to read a 5,000 page book or even write a 5,000 page book. I'm much better with this type of speaking vocally. Amazingly, I have took notes today as well, which I don't normally do. But that's again so I can deliver and not forget about my passion.
Amazing. So as a child, sporty?
Very sporty. The only thing I found was success. I was the person who would, you know, we'd go around and visit all my teachers and they'd say, you know, Kieran's so passionate about this, but if we could just get him to deliver it in his work. And then I'd take like a I'd take my mum and dad, and we must go see my PE teacher, and we'd sit there at my PE teacher, and they would tell them how great I am at every sport.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I didn't, at that time, do you know, fitness wasn't an industry.
No,
fitness wasn't a career.
No.
Do you know, it's still not seen as possibly, do you know, a career in an industry in its own right. And that's another thing I'm passionate about trying to promote. I'm not quite there yet, do you know, I'm still juggling a lot of things to make fitness my full-time living and thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was very sporty as a child. I had a, you know, my main passion followed, you know, I'm from an Irish background. You'll probably see from my odd spelling when I get this put in the podcast, but yeah, I spell Kieran with a C. There's no K in the Irish alphabet. That's the way, you know, for me it should be pronounced.
Yeah, fair enough.
That was a bit of a passion as well. It's family, you know, looking into native Irish sports, and I'm very lucky to, you know, be from Coventry, which has a massive Irish community. For a small catchment area, we have as many Gaelic football teams as Birmingham. So, so we have 3 Gaelic football teams in Coventry. I'm obviously from the best and second longest Gaelic football team, 4 Masters. We've been based since 1955 in the city. So, I came through the youth team there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, due to the way it was, Gaelic, you play over 2 years, so you're under 10s, under 12s, under 14s, under 16s,
yeah,
which is great because you have that mix of age groups.
Yeah.
But for me, I was in a team, I was out of a team for a year, I was in a team, I was out of a team for a year.
Okay.
It was my brother's team that I actually played for. It was his school friend's dad who set it up, and another school friend's dad we went to Bishop Olifant in Coventry.
Mm-hmm.
And so one parent set it up from there, and one parent set it up from Carnell Newman in Coventry. So we had them two sort of school links, which was great because we had friendship groups, but it was just the wrong age for me. So I was in a team, out of a team.
Yeah.
Which seemed, you know, lucky I was born in that time as well, because at 15 I was able to play for the adults team.
Okay.
I don't think you can do it this
time
at that age now. And looking at it, 15-year-old, I'm not, and I was no way a developed man at all, you know. You know, it's quite a small, slight person.
Yeah.
I was.
So it just kept healthy.
Yeah.
Play sports.
Gaelic football, it was a passion. It was probably the most successful thing I went on to do. So played for the men's team at 15,
yeah.
Played for my county under 16s.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, let's stop it there.
Yeah.
And then when we come back, we'll talk about the rest of the journey.
Cool.
And then we'll talk a little bit more about fitness and inspiring others.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
No worries.
Everyone knows that business owners and networkers have to make presentations. But even for these people, that can cause sickness and sleepless nights. If the words booming heart rate, anxiety, dread describe your emotions as your turn to speak approaches, then contact me at Ernie Said, that's www.erniesaid.info, and we will make those words comfortable, confident and inspiring. Ernie Said.
Now let's rejoin me and Kieran for part two on this brilliant interview. Right, so it's part two now with Kieran. Now, in terms of your journey, you kind of followed it up until you got to under 15. Well, you're 15, you're in the adults team. Just tell us about kind of the next few years going forward.
The next few years, in a nutshell, basically I was playing underage then for my county, but playing men's football for my club. So my county is classed as Warwickshire, but it actually represents the whole of the West Midlands.
Oh, wow, okay.
I managed to win 2 under 18s All British titles, which actually seen us then qualify for a tournament and go play in Ireland.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which we played, and we actually won that competition as well. It's classed as the international.
So you were successful in that field?
Yeah, played together. And then managed to do that at senior level 2, so adults football. And that, you know, stemmed on to me trying to just pursue or get better at fitness for a sport.
Okay.
Which see me, you know, as an Irish background, if you want to get good at fitness, you're told to go to your local boxing club. So that's what I did. It was a council estate based boxing club, Willenhall ABC. It's a great program. It's completely free, which is amazing. Everything, never cost me a penny to train and represent them.
Wow.
I pay for everything. Petrol, it's all by the unit away, it's sponsored, national lottery funded and stuff like that, which is amazing. So I found boxing, but I was still missing this strength element. I had, what we class as cardiovascular, or what most people can class as, I class as capacity.
Okay.
I had that in abundance, but I could barely do a pull up. I don't think I could even do a pull up.
Okay.
I could do push ups for days.
Yeah.
I could run for a very fast amount of time and a very long amount of time, but it was one dimensional or not complete full circle. MMA was the rising sport at that time.
Yep.
I had a lot of media coverage. Already sort of touched on how I learned, so through YouTube and podcasts.
Yep.
So you're just
hearing these words and these.
Yeah, and I'm trying to follow these people who I deem as idols, and I look at their physiques and I look at the way they perform, and I'm like, I want a glimpse of that, or that's what I deem fitness to be.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people still look at physiques and go, I want to attain that. Misconception. They look at what that person's doing then, not how they got there.
Yeah, exactly. They see the end product.
Yeah, and a lot of these guys, especially from an MMA background, they were coming through years of wrestling. Through school, school programs, 10 years of weight training, and wrestling, specific sports skills training.
Yeah.
Which we don't have in this country, unfortunately. No. We have a lot of sports and pursuits.
Yeah, and the American college system for sports and development.
Yeah, high school. Yeah, college system. Unfortunately, there's no end product for them. It's college. Yeah. It's professional bust, and that's where MMA and CrossFit have thrived, because they've given them an end product, to develop over to. Mm. I was following these pursuits media wise, and I took part in MMA and competed again in Brazil in Jiu-Jitsu more. That led me on to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Gave me a bit more of a let me know I could be a bit more of an intelligent athlete.
Okay.
I was from a very old school thought of you're a scholar or you're a sportsman or a warrior. I was from that old school thought of sports, and now value I kind of live by now is, make civilized the mind, make savage the body. So, it can't just be about bodily pursuits. It's too one dimensional. It has to be about intellectual pursuits as well. And again, that's, different people have different learning ways of doing this.
Yeah.
But it has to be an intellectual approach to life, to fitness. It can't just be banging your head against a brick wall.
No.
That does burn calories, but that's not what we do. Yeah.
So you were doing that, found CrossFit,
I stumbled upon CrossFit.com through, people like Joe Rogan, Tim Ferriss, other podcasts I listened to. Finally found a CrossFit podcast called Baba Shrugs. It's now the number one fitness podcast in the world.
Wow.
It's not just crossing, it's crossing fitness dimensions now.
Yeah.
Found that, never looked back, found CrossFit.com.
Yeah.
Found an amazing source. You have the CrossFit Journal there, so you have a written source of all these experts putting their wealth of knowledge online. Found great video tutorials as well, so I started teaching myself, started applying that in my sports. Unfortunately, there is a lot of precedence on qualifications over experience. I look for a good mix of both. Obviously, we have to have qualifications for insurance purposes.
Yeah,
it's a fact of life. I'm up for shaking things up, but if people can't dedicate their time or apply their passion in that way, they need to focus on that. So to get a formal pursuit.
Cool. So let's just very briefly, there might be some misconceptions about the industry.
Yeah.
We've got maybe a minute or so to discuss these. So let's
misconceptions on the industry. So CrossFit as a whole it gets labelled, you know, it makes fit people very fit. It makes athletes out of ordinary people. It does do that. It also, you know, helps, you know, people pick up their grandchildren for the first time because they haven't been able to because they can't move. So a general misconception would be that you have to be fit to start. And you don't. You just have to turn up. You just have to be coachable, willing to learn. You know, we have a big policy of putting your ego aside. That has to, you know, and you know, your shyness and that thing has to be put aside, and that's why coach-led stuff is so important. You know, you have to have someone to learn off. It's so hard to learn off yourself. There's so many.
There's too much information.
Too much information and wrong sources, and a lot of information is to sell products, which makes it very hard because, you know, if someone's very good at sales, you're going to believe that as the light and the way. And so, yeah, that's probably the biggest misconception is you have to be fit. You don't have to be fit. You just have to be, you know, willing to be coached and be coachable.
Cool.
I think that's probably the biggest misconception. Then, other sort of fundamental mistakes in fitness is people go it alone. We touched on that a little bit there already. People try and do too much, too fast. End up getting injured, get niggles, which kind of sends them back on that yo-yo thing we talked about earlier. And they don't build successful habits, or don't build a habit. Do you know, as humans, we kind of like habits. They kind of set out our day. They set out our way of living. They, you know, we've got this computer inside our brain, or a computer side of our brain, actually, that is auto-programmed, and we have auto-responses. We need to use them to our advantage, you know, instead of trying to fight against them all the time. So we obviously, the way we've developed as a business is we look at these misconceptions, look at these mistakes, and, you know, and try and set our business up to try and force, you know, get further than that, eradicate the mistakes, misconceptions. So that's what we try and promote. Should I really touch on those golden nuggets now?
Yeah, I was just about to say, I think we've already said about it.
Yeah, but kind of leading into it, aren't we?
Yeah, so what would your one golden nugget be? What would it be, your one piece of advice?
Well, as you can tell, I like talking, so we've got two. We've got two golden nuggets.
Let's cut it. First one,
get a coach. Get a coach. Best way to pick, find someone who's enthusiastic, someone who has knowledge, find someone who can apply that knowledge to their own training.
I think that's important.
So, you know, if they're not leading, then leading by example, then it's going to be hard for you to sort of, you know, you're going to pick holes in that person. Yeah. So if you lose faith in that person, it's going to leave you trying to find another person. So take your time with that. Obviously, people can seek us out and see if we match up well for them. I can give you details on that at the end. You know, find someone who makes it enjoyable. It has to be enjoyable. And then the biggest thing, set goals. You know, we talk about SMART goals CrossFit Faber. So SMART, you know, using it as an acronym, you know, is specific, measurable, achievable, relatable, time constraint goals. So you know, it has to be specific. So you can't just say, I want to be a billionaire. When do you want to be a billionaire? How long is it going to take? You know, what are the actions needed? Is it measurable? That goal is measurable. Do you know, if you have £1 billion, you're a billionaire. So is it achievable? Yes. Do you know, it's a long...
If a plan is in place.
If it's a long-term goal, I think there's going to be a lot of short-term goals. There's going to be a lot of short-term goals that are needed to get you along that line. But it is. Is it relatable? Well, do you own your own business? Do you have a capped finance? No. So it's in applying these things, and then have a time constraint. So have short-term goals with time constraints, and then have a longer vision. You know. So I think that's probably the way. And obviously, I've applied it there to business, and some. This is primarily what this, I think, this podcast is. But you know, they can be related to general life, fitness. Goals should always match up, and what I talk about, the golden triangle. So it should always be athletes are talking about being one-sided. You can't be one-sided in fitness. So it has to match up. Your goals has to match your work life, has to match your family life and relationships, and then, you know, it has to match up in a physical sense too.
Of course it does.
All three have to be in harmony, otherwise it just doesn't work.
I love that. Well, we're going to catch up again another time, because so much stuff we can talk about. I love that. If people wanted to find more information about you, about where you're based, or follow your social media, how would
you? We're obviously very social media friendly. We have an Instagram at CrossFit Faber, Facebook at CrossFit Faber. We have a website at crossfitfaber.com. Faber spelled F-A-B-E-R. CrossFit is obviously CrossFit. You can also find us, you can email me info@crossfitfaber.co.uk, which is one, or at Gmail. And any through the podcast, or, you know, if anyone wants to give me a call as well. I like that. Obviously, I like talking. So,
Phone is still
there. So it's very applicable. So, text me. I'll set up a time. We can talk. I'm 07973-502-113. Just get in touch. And it doesn't have to be about fitness. It can be about anything that's interested you in this podcast. And let's talk. That's how we spread the word.
Exactly. Perfect. Thank you so much, and we'll catch up again soon.
No, thank you, Gary.
Thank you so much, Kieran, for that really cool interview. Now, we're going to be catching up with Kieran again later on in the year, because there's so much cool stuff that we can talk about. And if you haven't tried CrossFit, or you haven't heard of it, check it out. Check out CrossFit Faber's Facebook page. He's got loads of cool information on there and some really cool pictures. Check out the website. And more importantly, get in touch with Kieran and get yourself down to Stony Park to see them. They're really cool. Now, in terms of these interviews, all of these interviews that you're listening to now have been on my radio show, which is Limits Now Radio Show, every Monday between 6:30 and 7:30 on Radio Warwickshire, repeated every Wednesday between 5 and 6. Got loads of cool interviews coming up. Have a great week.